If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4. We're coming to our 20th anniversary and, you know, kind of thinking back and reminiscing about things and thinking about some of the messages that we've done over the years. And this is a particular favorite, although I never preached the same message twice. This particular topic today has been a favorite for me for 20 years. So let's look at Luke 4, verse 16. Says this, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. It's a good custom to go to church on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He's reading from Isaiah, we would say Isaiah 61. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Anybody here in poor in any area? We all are, whether we admit it or not. Preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You been there? Anybody been brokenhearted? To proclaim liberty to the captives. Ever been bound? Well, every one of us was bound at one time by the enemy, but even as believers, we could be bound. Recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all eyes were of who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus was the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. All these things that were said here, we're talking about Jesus. And that's good news today because Jesus is alive and well. What he was doing 2,000 years ago, he's doing today. Wants to do the same thing in this place. Do it in your lives. But in verse 19, it mentions the acceptable year of the Lord. What is that? What does that mean? Well, let me read that to you in the Amplified Version. Verse 19, Luke 4:19 says this. To proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. I just love the language of the Bible. He just can't say abound. It has to be profusely. And that means extravagant. That means, you know, just over and above, over the top, already abundance. But the free favors of God profusely abound. And so if we're wondering, we can have themes for the year. And I do that. And the Lord's speaking about particular years. And he wants to do things in time spans. But I'll just tell you, if you don't have a theme for the year, go ahead and just take this. If the free favors of God may profusely abound in your life in 2015. The free favors of God may profusely abound in October of 2015. And you could even take it today and say, this day. Don't raise your hand, but anybody having a bad day? Bad week? Bad month? Well, I'll just speak to you right now. Turn around in the name of Jesus. Hopefully this message will encourage you of where God stands in your dilemma. What's God's position? What's his attitude? Because we need to know that, you know, because I've had family members that would say about sickness and disease that was from God, a test, you know, from him to build character and all these different things. And so if God's doing that in our lives, then we don't want to resist him. That'd be foolishness. So if you don't understand what the Word says, you'll listen to someone's opinion based on their experience and take that as the gospel when God really, that's not his attitude at all. And that's why we need to look to the Word. And you need to have this understanding. A lot of people don't have this, even preachers. There's an old covenant and a new covenant. And you can spend all the time in the old covenant trying to make doctrine for this generation when we have a new covenant based on better promises. So we look at the New Testament, that's talking to us. We can use things, and I'll have some Old Testament scriptures for you today, but I don't base my life on those Old Testament scriptures. I base my life on what Jesus, the gospel, and what Jesus has done for me in these new and better promises. Now that, well, we can go home again. I mean, that's just, you just need to know some of these things. So the year of free favor, the time of free favors, and it just wasn't 2,000 years ago. It's any time under this reign after Jesus was raised from the dead. So this is just as good today as it was 2,000 years ago. And Jesus fulfilled this scripture. I like what Psalms 5, verse 12 says this. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. I like that image. I'm trying to think on... Anybody watch Star Trek? When they put up the... What do they call those? Was it just a shield? You remember that shield they used to put up? Kind of protect them from the Klingons? Remember that? Come on, where... Don't pretend you hadn't seen any Star Trek. Come on now. But I like that. It's like it's a force field. It's something that surrounds us. God surrounds us with favor. Well, you may be wondering, well, it says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. Now, am I righteous? Well, that's a good question. Because am I entitled to favor? I mean, I'll need to be righteous according to this scripture. Well, what does 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 say about you? It says, for he made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So because of what Jesus did, he made us righteous. So I am now qualified for Psalms 5:12. I'm now qualified to be surrounded with favor. And you need to know that today, that you're surrounded with favor. What is favor? Well, I'm glad you're asking me these questions so I can answer them for you. What is favor? Favor is friendly or kind regard for someone. It's goodwill. It's approval. Now, I like this one. Unfair partiality. Who likes that? Favoritism. Prefer someone unfairly. Now, the favor of God is absolutely free for the believer. It is an expression of his loving kindness to people with his motive based entirely on his generosity. Meaning, I don't do anything to earn it. I can't be good enough to earn his favor, but because I believe in Jesus, it's part of my inheritance. And it's mine, and it's on me. And I like to say this is my definition. Over generous preferential treatment. We should say that together. Do you want to? Over generous preferential treatment. Point at your neighbor and say, over generous preferential treatment. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, you're God's favorite. Now take this finger and point it at yourself and say, I am God's favorite. And cross your eyes when you do it. I'm going to get a picture of that. The impact of Pastor Matt's message. Causes my eyes to cross. I don't know. It's powerful. What anointing. Because how many know you don't feel worthy all the time? Anybody here ever have a bad day? Sometimes, and just because we're in this world, I was talking to Susie the other day. We're talking about heaven. And imagine in heaven, there's no death, no decay. And for all the cleaners in the house, no dust. Imagine a world without dust. But, you know, think of your best day in this world. Heaven is a million times better than that best day because it's just God's life. Isn't that amazing? And but some days, I mean, living in this world with death and decay and a devil who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And then we live with other Christians. Now, I'm not comparing these Christians to the devil, but they can be used by the devil. Because sometimes we have our guard down towards people, and the enemy knows how to hit our weak spot. I'll just move on. You don't want to hear about any of that. But we get hurt by others. We let our shield down. The enemy likes to hit us in weak areas. And so it's in those times when we don't feel like it, that's when the believer needs to kick in and where you need to know some things. And that's where we need to know that we're favored. Because certainly by my behavior, I don't deserve it. And I don't feel like I should receive these things. But because I'm a child of God, because what Jesus did, I was made righteous. I have a right standing with God. He favors me. I'm as much His favorite as Jesus is His favorite. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He'd be saying that about you. He is saying that about you. But we have to have ears to hear it and to receive it. Now, the favor of God affects your relationship with Him and with people. Proverbs 3, verse 3 says this, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor in high esteem in the sight of God and man." So we have this favor with God over generous preferential treatment, and we have favor with people. The favor of God influences folks around you. Now, one of the best examples of, well, there's a whole lot in the Bible, but one of my favorites is the story of Joseph. And I won't take time to read and even tell you the whole story, but you know Joseph was the son of Jacob. Remember, Joseph was the one who had the coat of many colors? Joseph's the one that had the dream and told his brothers that they would be bowing down to him, which is a stupid mistake. To tell your brother something like that. Well, his brothers got jealous and they threw, this is not brotherly love here, they threw him in a pit and then sold him into slavery. Think you've got it bad with your family. Threw him in a pit and then sold him into slavery. But Joseph's story is one of favor. You can read Genesis 37 through about Genesis 42 to read his story. I want to encourage you to do that. But I just want to read a small part of Joseph's story. When he went into slavery, he went to one of the workers for Potiphar. And so we'll pick up the story, Genesis 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. Is the Lord with you today? The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord... Now, is this master a believer? Is he a believer in God? No, he's an Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Look at that. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. This favor was so strong on Joseph that it blessed the Egyptian's house. This favor brings influence. It obviously, we have favor with God, but we have favor with people. And we need to know this because we go into situations, into the world, and sometimes we're intimidated and you know, afraid or, you know, looking at circumstances, and it looks like you're not being blessed, but we're being cursed. And this is when you need to know that the favor of God is on you, and you need to know it. And that knowing will bring an attitude and an expectancy, and it will bring a turnaround in your situation. Do you have any area in your life where it's not going so well? Any area in your life that's not working, you need to apply God's favor to that area. And we need to apply it on purpose. Because God will, He's bringing blessing your way, and that blessing will not only affect you, but it's like what Harry was talking about, it will be a blessing to the people around you. Even if they're not believers. So, the favor of God. And I have a lot of stories about God's favor, but we'll just share a couple of them. Back in 1992, I was working on my master's degree in business. And I was getting close to the end. I graduated from Oral Roberts University in 1988. I'm still in school 4 years later, working on this master's degree. And the reason being is because I was in a different area. I had to take all the prerequisite classes, 10 different business classes, to get into the MBA program. So I had those classes, plus I was studying accounting, and I had to take those classes. Then I had to take all the MBA. It doesn't sound like fun, does it, Corey? It was a whole lot of work, you know, married, having these kids, you know, working full time. I mean, those are, Nate, you've never had these years, but those years are like a blur. I mean, those 4 years, I mean, just so busy. Well, I'm coming down to the end. I mean, Susie is, you know, taking care of the family, doing so much because I'm gone. And so we're coming down to the end in 1992, and I'm getting ready to graduate. I just have one more semester of classes, and then I'll graduate. And we are getting so excited, these last few classes. But I made a mistake. I went on vacation, and I missed the registration period. Anybody here ever make mistakes? You've never done something that stupid, especially when you're getting to the end. And so I find out from counselor, guidance counselor, I can't graduate because the classes that I want are already full, and I'm going to have to wait another semester and then wait for the next time around. It's like a year away to graduate. 4 years, Sean. Four years. And I'm right there, and I'm getting slapped in the face. Victory is snatched from me. And you know, how many know when you go home and tell your wife the good news, she's just going to be so happy. Oh, another year. Isn't praise the Lord. She looked at me. And basically, that's not going to happen. You're graduating, buddy. So go back in there and bring me home that graduation. All right, so I'm at work, and so the first thing I got to do, I got to call the registrar. And I got to talk to this guy and tell him my story. And because I'm just so nice and just a good guy, he's going to change his mind. Never met the guy, but so I call him up and tell him who I am and, you know, plead my case and all the different things and getting to the end where he's going to tell me he's going to let me in. Gets to the end, and he tells me, you're not getting in. And he does it with kind of an attitude. Like, I've got power, you don't. And so then I got mad. Now, I know no one in here has ever gotten mad. Have you ever felt like your blood boiling? And no, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? You've never had that. I mean, you're just... I mean, you can just feel just anger. And I'm not so much angry at him, but I'm angry at myself for being so stupid to do this. And so I try to convince him again, go through again. And he's just basically said, no. I mean, how many ways do I need to tell you? No. And I got so mad, you would never do this. I mean, you guys are just a bunch of holy rollers around here. I took the phone. I'm in my office at work. I took the phone and I slammed it down. Bam! I mean, people offices away heard it. They come running in there. What's going on? I was mad. I was mad because I had to go home and face Susie. So then I call Susie up and said, you know, I'm really sorry, honey. I'm really sorry, but they told me no. And you could hear it in their words. That's not happening. Read my lips. I can't read them on the phone. You're going to graduate on time. So make it happen. I did not slam the phone. Put it down gently. So I called the registrar again. He told me no again. Then I got out college, you know, phone book of all the different people and started to find the top people in the school. Called the vice president of this. Called him. He told me no. Called the vice president of that. He told me no. Then I called the president of the college because, you know, that's what you do. You call the president of the college. I called the president of the college, and she is like, I'm amazed I got through, to be honest. I mean, that's favor there. I got through to her, and she's talking to me. And so I'm telling her my story, and I said, I've got this wife at home. I really need to get in. And she's just like, are you crazy? Why are you calling me? The registrar, he's the one. And she's just basically, she's putting me in my place. You're so stupid, and I'm not going to do anything for you. So I hang up from then. And I didn't even call Susie after that one. So I knew better. Yeah. So I'm just like, you know, in my office, I'm just kind of praying in the spirit. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he gave me this plan to go talk to the head of the MBA program and talk to him and talk to him face to face. He said, I need to go talk to him face to face. But this particular guy that I'm going to talk to, we didn't get along very well. This guy didn't like me. And he, and I was kind of having something towards him because I had an ethics class. He was the teacher. I did a paper on my ethics and he gave me a D. And he said, I want you to redo this. He basically told me, because I'm a believer and I put that in there, he didn't like that and wanted me to redo the paper. So we're not really bonding here. No fishing, no golfing, no going to the Waffle House for breakfast with this guy. So this is the guy that I have to go see. And so I go, and so, you know, I know about favor, and I'm confessing the word, I'm praying. And so I go and talk to this guy, and it was amazing. It was like I was just talking to my long-lost friend here. His attitude towards me was totally different. And what he ends up doing is he says, the registrar owes me a favor. That's what he said. So he calls the registrar, tells him, this is Matt Judd. This is the same guy that slammed the phone down. Calls him, and this is what he says to him. He says, you can't see it, but I'm on my knees begging you to let this student in. The registrar says, okay, I'll let him in. Then I called Susie. That's favor, because that's someone with whom in the natural I didn't have favor. I mean, God, it was like God's presence was there in that office, turning things around. Overgenerous preferential treatment. Another situation, I was I worked for an international paper, and I was up at their sawmill up in Johnston. And we weren't performing that well. We weren't doing that great, and we were one of six sawmills in this division, and they're really looking at a new, you know, they just bought federal paperboard, and so they're looking at costs, and they're looking at maybe chopping some. That's what they do when you make a merger. You sell off assets and do all kind of things. And so they were looking at our plant because we were underperforming as one that they're potentially going to close. And in fact, we got the word that the big boss was coming down to our place and was going to close the plant. That was the purpose of the meeting. And this particular guy, and this is not good to confess over anybody, but I called him the devil from hell. Don't do that. Don't say those words. But he was the devil from hell because he had offered me this job in another plant, and I turned him down. And on the phone, my leader is cussing me out, putting words together. I didn't even know you could put those words together. I mean, it was a beautiful thing, really. I mean, you got to be skilled to say it like that. And I was like, wow. I didn't know I could be that low, you know? So this is the guy coming to the plant, and he's coming down there within his mind to close the plant. And so we have all the leaders there. And so I am just praying. We got 100 jobs in line. I mean, I know these people, care for these people. I don't want this to happen. It's bad for this city. It's one of the bigger employers in the area. It's just not a good thing. I don't want any of these people to lose their jobs. So I'm taking this pretty seriously. I mean, I know I'm going to be okay, but what about everybody else? And so I'm just praying about this. I'm says, Lord, you know, help us and, you know, have mercy on us and claim in favor and give me wisdom in this situation. And so I did. I mean, I just looked at all the, was an accountant, looked at all the numbers and made a presentation to maybe, you know, show him some things that maybe he missed. So he comes in there and basically, he says, you all have anything that you want to say? I said, yeah, I do. And so I handed my reports. And started going through a presentation about the plant and what was happening and what I thought the future was going to hold, and begin to share this story. And it's like the devil from hell turned into the angel from heaven. I mean, I saw his countenance change as I was going through this. And by the end of the presentation, he goes, you know, this is really good. And he decides not to close the plant. Someone that we didn't have a good relationship with, but he decided, and I don't know, I think it's still open today. I don't know that for sure. Anybody up in Johnston? It's on that road to Saluda. Is it closed now? I should have stayed, huh? But it was open for a long time after that. I mean, that's just favor. Favor changes things. And, you know, we can have favor in relationships. We can have favor in business. Favor in business deals. Favor in legal situations. I mean, the thing with the registrar, I messed up. I made a mistake. Even when you make a mistake, there's the mercy of God. There's the favor of God. It changes. And it's God's favor, but He's influencing people around you. Now, this is a good example of about favor, and this will help. One minister that I really respect, he told us this years ago. He said, "Go where you have favor. Go where you have favor." And so, you know, years ago I was at ORU and I was buying my first car. And I went into this dealership. It was a used car dealership. And how many like to go to a dealership? Come on, be honest. How many get all excited about going and dealing with salesmen? How many like dealing with the sales manager? It's fun, isn't it? Don't you just like, man, I can't wait to get over there and make the deal. And so I'm in just one of these stereotypical used car places, and I'm looking at a particular car, and it's a car that I want, and it's around $2,000, and I have the money for the down payment, and I think I can make the payments. It'll be stretching it, but I really want this car. Took it for the test drive, and the only thing I cared about, did it go fast? And it drove fast, so I wanted it. And so I am ready to buy the car, and I go in there, and the salesman's working on me and going through other, and so then he says those famous words, "Let me get the sales manager." And the sales manager comes in, and he's just really being smooth and all these different things. But the more he began to talk, something on the inside of me said, man, you know, just this isn't right. This just doesn't seem right. This doesn't feel right. Something about this whole thing now, it's turning. And you see, God's got a spirit of seeing and knowing. He can see behind the scenes. He knows when it's good and bad. I mean, you could be led by your emotions and override this. But I was looking inward, and I wasn't feeling good about it. And finally, I came down, the sales manager, the salesman there, and I said, no, I don't want this. And so he began to cuss me out. And he cussed me out almost as good as the devil from hell, my other boss. Not quite as good, but I mean, I'd give it a 6 out of 10. He is cussing me out, yelling at me. What a great sales technique. I don't know which sales technique this is, but I'm going to leave. And so, I may not have known that then, but I know looking back, I didn't have any favor there. I'm trying to make it favorable, but it wasn't there. Brother Hagin used to say, don't make it happen, let it happen. So it was frustrating because my flesh wanted to get the car. Now favor is not I win and you lose. In any kind of a business deal, favor is win-win. Everybody wins. So don't get, you're trying to rip somebody off. God doesn't do things that way. But that wasn't it. So then I'm walking with Susie. We're not married at the time. Walking through Susie through our parking lot. And I see this car that's just like shining at night. It's gold color. It is a 1970 Impala two-door. It's a coupe. 350 engine. And it is just shining, glimmering at night. It's beautiful. And it had a for sale sign on it. And something was just drawn about that car, to that car. So I call the guy, and Susan was with me. We drive out to this guy's house. He's probably about 75. And he takes me to the car. I guess his son was driving it. That's why it was at our apartment complex. It's now at his house. And it was only there for one night, the night I was walking by. And the guy's last name is Ellis. And I said, Mr. Ellis, I really like your car. And he said, well, just take it for a test spin. And just so Susie and I take it around. I don't know what Susie thought about it, but I loved it. It goes fast, too. Did I mention we went fast? It's a gas guzzler, but it drives fast. Back then, gas was about 50 cents a gallon. I won't even talk about that. And I get back. He's selling the car for $900. That's the price he wants for it. I start talking to him. He pulls out all the paperwork of every service job done on the car. There's a box of tools in the trunk. I don't have any tools. I'm a college student. He says the tools are included. Then, to top it all off, he witnesses to me to make sure I'm saved. That particular car, I drove it for 2 years and then sold it for $900, the same price I paid for it. But you see, sometimes we can be trying to make this deal in the flesh, but the favor of God's not there. Go where you have favor. And sometimes you got to be patient. And sometimes you got to wait for it. How do you bring favor into your world? It's great to see it on the pages of the Bible. How do you bring it into your world? Well, one of the first things is, like from today, you got to see it in the Word. You have to see favor as part of your inheritance. Favor is something that God has for you. He has it for you every day. And like the Word, you got to put it in your heart. Because we don't grow up this way in this world system. It's all based on earning. It's all based on works. It's all based on your persuasiveness and your talent. But favor doesn't work that way. Favor is based on the Word and believing the Word. Favor is based on what the Bible says and you believing it as true. So we believe in God's ability to influence every situation in your life. So that's the first thing. The second thing we need to do is we need to call in favor. Look over in Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 16 says this, therefore is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the death, to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This word call means summon, to summon. You ever been summoned? If you get a summon from the government, do you even contemplate not showing up? You're going to be there, and you're going to be there on time. You're going to be early. And if you don't, there's consequences. That's what this word means. You summon it. You call it in. You need to summon favor in your life. Those areas in your life that are not working, that it seems like the curse is there, that's not God's will. And we need to be reminded of this because I've let this slip. I've had things happen in my life and I know better, but I'm just not applying it. I'm just not walking in it in who I, you know, who I am. So this is something we need to have in our confession list. We need to confess that favor surrounds us as with a shield. We need to confess that I'm God's favorite. We need to confess that I'm God's son. He's pleased with me. We need to confess that I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We need to confess over generous preferential treatment. We need to speak it. We need to say it. And especially when we don't feel like it. Now, Terry, let's just pretend it's you and me in this place. You've got a big part of the organization here, team members. I'll give you a little secret. I know you probably already do it. Confess favor with your team. Don't tell anybody. Okay? Just between you. Confess favor, and then confess favor with the congregation. Just between you and me. That's good. And you'll get someone whom you don't even realize. I didn't mean to make you cry, Terry. Why do I have this effect on people? Because sometimes you feel like it's you, and you learned all these leadership things, but sometimes you feel like you got to make it happen. And there's good things, principles you got to apply. But I want to tell you, you're favored of God. And there's people here, and they're just going to call you, and they don't even understand. I want to serve in the children's area. That's the favor of God. You're His favorite. Favor in relationships. The next one is, and there's an expectancy that favor is operating in my life. I'm winding it down because we're running out of time here. Luke 2, verse 52 says this, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Now, it means He increased in it. Does it mean that there's more favor that God had? No, because God doesn't change. His favor doesn't change. He increased in His expectancy and in His ability to receive that favor. Now, let me throw this out there. If you can increase in favor, can you decrease in favor? Can you let things slip? Can you go backwards? Paul, I think it was in Corinthians, corrected the church. He says, "You're acting like mere men." We're having to go back to the milk of the word. All of us let things slip. And sometimes it's these revelations that we've had for a long time. It's so easy to let it slip or forget about it. I want to be like Jesus. I want to increase in this. I want to grow in this. The next one is, we need to sow favor. I don't know why I have all these stories at Sam's and Walmart. I don't know what this says about me. I'm at Sam's the other day, and I had got all my stuff, and I went out to the car, and I don't know if I use these words, I'm going to sow some favor, but I just want to be a blessing to people. So I just started looking around, and people were loading stuff into their car. Now, I didn't go help them load into their car. That would have been weird. They may have called security on me. But I kind of waited until they finished, and they're about to bring their cart back to the thing. I ran over there, said, "Can I bring your cart back for you?" Sure. And so I'm doing that, and then the cart area is all messed up. I like order. So I just started straightening up the cart area. I'm putting them all in there neatly, and they're all fitting nice together, and I've got them in there. This is at Sam's now. And the guy, the cart guy, I don't know what his title is, the cart guy, comes up to me and he's just like, "What are you doing? Are you crazy?" I just said, I just want to be a blessing. I didn't have time necessarily to share the gospel. I've been doing this for a while. I needed to move on. But he didn't deserve that. He gets paid to do that. But sometimes you just want to bless somebody. And so I want to sow favor. If I want favor in my life, I want to sow it to others. So husbands, and I need to put this into practice. Josh, this is for you. Husbands, you need to do something special on a day that's not supposed to be special. You don't get any credit for the days that are special, and you do something on those days. It is all about getting credit. So just pick a day, mark it on the calendar, and say, I'm going to bless my wife. I'm giving away all my secrets here today. Walmart, Sam's, you know. Then, last but not least, and you always need to keep this in mind, because as we're being blessed by God, you might start thinking it's you. We can get so confident in our steps of faith, and we're working the faith system in the process, and you'll start looking at your flesh like you're earning God's blessings. And sometimes you can get out of love and you start getting selfish and start demanding favor. And that's not God. You're getting into pride. See, favor never operates out of love of God. So this is a good scripture for you to know about the purpose of the favor. And that's found in Genesis 12, verse 2. And I want to read this in the Amplified Version. It says this. I love this. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Always keep the purpose of all the blessings and what's it for. We're people, and it's easy to get off. We need each other. But the Bible says He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. We're humble about this. I mean, we tell the testimonies to help encourage other people's faith, but it's never directed towards us. Look how great of a faith person I am, spiritual giant I am. See, the flesh never works in God's presence. But the purpose of the favor is to be a blessing to others. He will move things around. And so if you have this heart that you're going to be a sower, He's going to get resources in your hands.